People live hand to mouth, financially speaking. Maybe you've lived that way at times, where there is no room in the budget whatsoever for anything extra. Every last penny that comes in already has an immediate outlet. You already know where it's going. And we might tolerate living this way. I think you can get used to living that way, and it's not, I mean, you can adjust to it. But I doubt any of us really enjoy or prefer it. We would probably rather be like the farmer mentioned in Luke 12. Jesus speaks a parable saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?' And he said, 'This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" We'd probably rather prefer that than be on the other end of the spectrum. And I think it's perhaps easy to think of wisdom as being like this rich man's great harvest. This rich man had already had so much, and so he needed to store it so that he could just use what came in. And this provision that he had, it was provided ahead of time, and it was ready. It was just ready to be used. It was sitting there waiting to be used, and he just knew for many years there's just plenty laying around. I don't have to worry about where it's going to come from. And we can think of wisdom that way. It's provided ahead of time, and it's ready for all the needs of the future. And there might be some truth to it, because unlike food, wisdom can be used more than once. But every day is different. Every situation is different. And what worked yesterday may not work today, especially when our success truly comes from God and not from us making a good choice. The success is from the Lord. Jesus said in John 15:5, he said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." So I'm going to have great barns of wisdom, and I'm going to fill it full of wisdom, and no matter what the problem is, I know I've got wisdom. Maybe we can think of it that way. I'm laying in store for many years. But with the Lord, without the Lord, we can do nothing. We need him. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 5. And this is still introductory, but I didn't want to miss turning to this passage, because it's so powerful in my mind it's an example of why we need daily wisdom. Daily wisdom. 2 Samuel 5, verse 17. "But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. And David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?' And the Lord said unto David, 'Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand.' And David came to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there, and said, 'The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters.' Therefore he called the name of that place Baal-perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim." We've been here before. We've done this before. "And David said, 'Oh, I know what to do.'" No, that's not what he said. "He inquired of the Lord. And the Lord said, 'Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines.' And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until they come to Gezer." David didn't say, I've passed this test before. I know exactly what to do. No, he inquired of the Lord yet again. And then the Lord says, I want you to go around behind him, hide in the mulberry trees. You're going to hear a going, probably a breeze. And then you'll know that I'm going before you, and you follow me into battle, and you'll win the battle. And that's a good example of what wisdom is like. We can learn principles, and we ought to learn truths. He can give us knowledge and ability to perform his will as he desires. But it is daily wisdom that we need. Daily wisdom that we ought to be seeking. We like to, you think about walking a dog and in that kind of mind frame, mindset, we like to have a long leash so that we can make our own choices. God will give me freedom, and anywhere in here, I can make the choices that I think are best, and God will just bless it. We like it to be that way. But God wants us to stick close to him and continually seek his direction step by step. I've seen owners walking their dogs, and I admire at times. I admire how well trained the dog is. And the best ones that I've seen anyway are the ones that look like they're on a really short leash, but there is no leash. They stay right by their master, and they're watching and paying attention what their master's doing and behaving according to that. The dog, I've seen more dogs that are just, they're off running. And if you don't yank on the leash, they're not coming back. And this is how we like to be. But we need to stick close to the Lord and seek his direction day by day. God's wisdom is a powerful thing. It's versatile. It can be used in all kinds of ways. And yet it's particular. Do this precisely. This is what God will lead us to do. And we need it every day. Again, we can feel like we've got a pretty good handle on our life, and I know pretty much what to do. But when God leads you to say a specific thing or to do a specific thing, or even leads you and you're not even aware exactly that he led you into that, but he did because you were daily surrendered and daily begging him to do such things, that is exciting to watch. If you seek God earnestly and intentionally every single day, it will change your life. I want to show you from Proverbs chapter 3 tonight how God's wisdom will help you in every area, but you must seek him frequently and actually more continually. Not just, oh, I did it not too long ago, let me go do it again. It's continual. It's nonstop. This is how we ought to seek him. We need it every day. You and I need a daily dose of direction from the Lord. And this is what his wisdom will do for us. Without it, we will not glorify him or follow him the way that we could and the way he desires. We need a daily dose of direction. Let's pray, and then we'll consider our text in Proverbs chapter 3. Lord, help us to catch a vision of what you have in store for us if we'll just follow you. Help us not to be self-reliant. We often fall into the trap of believing that we just need some help and then we'll be fine. But really, we need you, and that's it. You are enough. You do not need our help. We need you. Help us to seek you every day, because without you, we will fail. Without you, we can do nothing. I pray that you would help us to seek you every day urgently and earnestly and watch you work. Give us that vision. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3. We're continuing our way through the chapter. It's been a blessing to me to consider it. I hope to you as well. Proverbs 3 verse 19 says, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh, for the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Maybe this is true for you as well. Sometimes we can read passages like this, and it just starts, because we're not used to this manner of speaking, or we read words like this in the Bible quite a bit, it can start to just turn into meaningless hyperbole. And, well, the point is, things will go well. All right, I got it. But his phrases and his expressions are very particular, and there are some real particular blessings here, and I want us to consider them tonight. First of all, we see God's wisdom in action. It says in verse 19, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth." And that's not what I would first think of. When I think of how did God found and create the worlds, oh, it was by wisdom. That's not the first word I would use. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. But it's true. He did by wisdom found the earth and the universe. Let's look at it. Just a few verses of the creation account. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By the end of verse 1, wisdom is already present and being used. Verse 3, it says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And this evening and the morning were the second day. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens." This is what the Bible says. I think God's power attracts most of the attention in the Genesis account of creation. That's first what I think of. Wow, God is so powerful. And he is. He just spoke it. He spoke it into existence. I can't do that with anything. My words don't speak anything into existence. Even sound, even technology that is responsive to voice, nothing is created by you speaking. But God created everything with his words. I think of his power. But Proverbs 3:19 talks about his wisdom and his understanding, because God's power and wisdom were needed to create what is really our incomprehensibly intricate universe. We're not even scratching the surface of what God has created. We're constantly discovering new things. Brother Jones was telling me something just before the service about something he had seen about little ants in the desert and their intricate design. How did that happen? It didn't just happen. God spoke it into existence. God's power and wisdom was needed for that. Power without wisdom, I think, would look more like a nuclear explosion. Because there's a lot of power there, but it doesn't create anything engineered or designed or complex. That's power without wisdom. God's power and wisdom created and were needed to create the universe. We see his creative action. This is God's wisdom in action. He creates things. He also adapts and changes. He responds. Proverbs 3:20 says, "By his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew." I think this sure sounds like it's referring to the flood when Noah was in the ark and his family. Genesis 7:11, it says, "In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened." God knows how to create, and then when man sins, when man reacts in a sinful way or changes course, God knows then what to do that's best for us. That's why Romans 8:28 is true. All things work together for good. God puts you on a path, and you have the ability to step off the path, to go off into the into the gorge, the canyon, and God comes and rescues you. That's not his plan, but he can use it for good. He adapts. He works around us in this way, and he does it by wisdom. God's wisdom is demonstrated in his every action from start to finish. He's the Alpha and Omega, and from the very beginning, everything he created was very good, and then man got involved and ruined it in many ways with our sin. And God is still doing very good things. He uses wisdom to do this. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." This is the God that we serve. This is the God who wants to give us his wisdom. It's available. He wants you to have the wisdom that you need for everyday life. And so we ought to go to him for a daily dose of direction. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll see a vision that Solomon sets forth for his son. Again, the Proverbs is written by a father to his son, desiring that his son grab hold of God's wisdom and follow after the Lord. Solomon did not end well. We know that. But when Solomon wrote this book of Proverbs, I believe he was in his prime, so to speak. He was following the Lord. He was doing well. He was a good testimony. God was blessing him. God was using him. He was enjoying God and following him. And he was being a good king and a good leader. And he wanted that for his son. And he's imploring his son. He's trying to give his son a vision for what his life could be like. Proverbs 3, verse 21, he says, "My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck." Have you parents ever done that sort of thing with your child? You need to listen to me. Let me tell you, if you'll just do this, it will pay dividends for you down the road. I know you can't see it right now, but let me tell you, it'll take you in a good direction. We try to impart that vision to them. And three times in Proverbs chapter 3, Solomon says, "My son," and I just hear this beseeching, earnest tone in his voice. "Son, please listen to me. Don't disregard this." He wants his son to value. In verse 1, he talks about his own commandments. He wants his son to value the father's commandments. He wants his son to value, in verse 11, God's chastening. Don't despise it. And he wants his son to value God's wisdom and understanding in verse 21. Solomon is speaking from his heart's vision of seeing his son live each day in God's wisdom. And he desires that his son catch that vision as well. As parents, as maybe you're not a parent, maybe you're sort of a mentor to someone younger. You look back on your life and you see, yeah, I made a wrong turn there. I delayed there. I was too hasty there. And if I could go back, that's what I would change. And if I would have changed it, just imagine where that would take. Hey, person, you know, child, someone you're mentoring, don't make those mistakes. Let me tell you where that leads. Don't do it. Just take my word for it. I made the mistake. I learned the hard way so that you don't have to. Solomon is having this tone of voice. And I want to speak to young people for a minute. Don't despise the instruction and burden that your authorities have for your life. They're looking at your life through the lens of hindsight, we might call it. Hindsight is 20/20. You know that expression? After you've been through it, you look back and you see it a lot more clearly than when you were in the middle of it. They made choices that you have yet to make. They want you to make better choices than they did. That's what I want for my kids. Make better choices than I did. They want that for you. Glean from their hard-earned lessons. Learning the hard way is not the best way. Sometimes that's the way that's necessary for us because we won't learn another way. But it's not the best way. Learn from their lessons. That's one reason that God put them in your life. Let God give you his vision for your future through your authorities, through your leaders. And Solomon is imparting this vision. Son, if you could just catch this vision I have for your life. I know where these things lead. God, we know God gave Solomon supernaturally, just put it in his heart. Great wisdom. And Solomon is essentially pleading with his son to catch this vision. Let me paint the picture for you. Grab hold of this. And what is he saying? Well, first of all, he talks about keeping wisdom. Verse 21, Proverbs 3:21, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. How do we keep it? Well, we keep it in focus daily. Again, we're talking about a daily dose of direction. Wisdom, what does God want from my life? How does he want to lead me today? Yesterday may have been one set of plans, and today is not the same day. I need the Lord's help today. Keep wisdom in focus daily. I think about Daniel. And Daniel in the lion's den, one of the most well-known stories in the Bible. And what put him in the lion's den? Well, it was his focus. He prayed 3 times every day. He stopped what he was doing. He opened his window toward Jerusalem, and he prayed from his knees. He didn't just pray as he was driving. I've done that before, and that's good. It's good to pray anytime. But he wasn't multitasking. He stopped what he was doing, and he prayed to the Lord 3 times a day. He was focused. This helped him stay focused on the Lord instead of what the king said. And God delivered him from the lion's den. Your priorities every day must be intentionally maintained, or else they won't remain your priorities. You can't set it and forget it. You have to every day refresh and reinforce and repair these priorities because they deteriorate rather quickly. We will overlook or lose sight, or be distracted from these things. We know the expression, out of sight, out of mind. And that becomes, it's so easy. I think we could all say, yeah, life can be that way. Something that was so important to me for maybe weeks on end, a couple of days, and I completely forget all about it. And it's weeks before I remember that I forgot about it. How does that happen? It can happen to us. We need to keep this wisdom in focus daily. Solomon gives a good illustration of this attitude we ought to have in Proverbs 7, verse 2. He says, keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Nobody likes other people poking their eyes. And some are more sensitive. You might not even like to poke your own eye. Touch your own. No, nothing touches my eye. Maybe you've had a chance to wear contacts and you don't want to because you don't want to put anything in your eye. We protect our eyes. Do we protect the law of God in our heart that way? Nothing touches that. Nothing messes with that. Nothing is going to interfere with that. It is number one. Every day, I'm refreshing that and renewing that. When you're busy, when you're really, really busy, every day is just a race. It's easy to have maybe a mental checklist of things you need to get done, and you do the thing. And it doesn't need to be done again until tomorrow or maybe next week or something. You do it and it's done. You know it's done. I'm this way. Maybe you are too. Good. It's done. I'm going to put it out of my mind and forget all about it. I don't need to think about it anymore. It's finished. And that's good for a checklist. We forget it and move on. But having wisdom is not a checklist item. Good, you know, I prayed this morning, God give me wisdom. Good, I can forget all about that. I did it, check it off the list, moving on. Having wisdom is how we complete our checklist. That is the means we use to complete our checklist. It must be always in focus. Lord, give me wisdom for this. I think I know what I ought to do, but I might be wrong. Lord, I have no idea what to do. I need you. Lord, I'm coming up to, I don't know what's going to happen in this situation. Please lead me. I don't know what's going to be said to me, what's going to happen. I don't know how I will respond. Lord, I need your wisdom. Seeking him every day. Keep it in focus. Keep it in use. He says in Proverbs 3:21, let not them depart from thine eyes. There's the focus. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Protect it. Resist things that would detract from it. This word sound, as you might expect, founded in truth. Firm, strong, valid, solid. cannot be overthrown or refuted. Sound wisdom, solid. And then discretion is prudence and knowledge. Forethought, looking ahead, seeing what's coming, being able to know ahead of time where this will lead. We need to keep it in focus and keep it in use. Verse 22, Solomon says, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. If we don't keep it in focus and keep seeking it, we're not going to enjoy this blessing. But if we will, and Solomon says, if you won't let it depart from your eyes, if you keep sound wisdom and discretion, it will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. If you receive and keep God's wisdom, he's going to bless you and use you mightily. It's not just this is the best way to do something. It is this is how God will work through your life and use you in great ways. In Exodus 36, we read about how God gave wisdom. The Bible specifically calls it wisdom to Bezalel and Aholiab, two men that were at the forefront of crafting the different pieces of furniture for the sanctuary, the tabernacle. God gave them wisdom. And we might think of it as just purely skill. Well, do you know how to make a chair? Do you know how to make a bench? Whatever they're making. But God put that wisdom into their hearts. This is very basic, and we need it in every part of our life. God will bless you if we'll receive and keep God's wisdom. And they used that. They used that wisdom from God in a great way. Those pieces of furniture were used for hundreds and hundreds of years. We need to keep wisdom and profit from wisdom daily. It will be life unto your soul and grace to your neck. Verse 23, Solomon says, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. He begins to get into daily blessings. He's talking to his son, talking about the importance of wisdom and how God uses wisdom. He by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. And then he says, don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom. They're going to change your life. It's going to be grace to thy neck and life unto thy soul. It will give life meaning. And let me tell you about some daily blessings, Rehoboam. Some daily blessings that you will enjoy by having God's wisdom in your life, and we'll enjoy these same kinds of blessings if we'll seek the Lord. Again, I can figure this out, Lord. I'm going to go off and I'm going to be off and running. I'm too busy to seek the Lord right now. I'm too busy to pray. I'll figure it out on my own. No, if we'll go to God for wisdom, we'll enjoy these blessings. We'll see how God's wisdom is universally helpful and applicable to everything that we need. God used it to create the universe, and we need it to live in that universe. The first blessing that I see here in verse 23, it says, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. One daily blessing we'll have from God is preservation. We so easily can make destructive choices, and it's sad how people, you read, I mean, I'm talking extreme stories where somebody seemed to have just a decent life and then they commit an act of violence or terrible illegal behavior and now they're in jail for decades or worse. And you say, how did that happen? Just a few moments of action and their whole life is destroyed. It doesn't take much. And we can try our hardest and still end up in a difficult place. We need to be preserved. We need God's preservation. And Solomon says, if you will seek the Lord and keep sound wisdom and discretion, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Turn to Psalm 69. Safely, thy foot shall not stumble. You don't intend to stumble. And wintertime with ice can be dangerous. I fell out here on the parking lot a few weeks ago, and it was the typical, you're walking and your feet slip out in front of you, and you have that eternal moment where you say, this is really going to hurt. And then it does. And you're not surprised. And stumbling, maybe you trip something, you stub your toe on something or and you fall forward, you don't intend to stumble. You don't intend to fall. And accidents happen, and the Lord can preserve you. Not necessarily only from stumbling and falling, but more serious ways of doing that. We need God's preservation. Psalm 69, verse 1 says, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God." He's describing this difficult situation he's in. Look at verse 29. "God, I need you to help me. I need your preservation. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God." That's the right focus. When we need preservation anytime, but especially when we need preservation, we seek the Lord. God will preserve his people. We need God's help. Every single day we need to seek him, even before we know that we need help. I don't know if I'll need help today, Lord. I assume I will because it's a day on this old world, but I need your help. I'm coming to you now. I need your wisdom. Help me to live before you that will glorify you, and he'll preserve you. Not only preservation, another daily blessing is rejuvenation. Proverbs 3:24 says, Solomon says, "When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet." I think that's a neat blessing. Thy sleep shall be sweet. It's frustrating to lay down and have time to sleep, and you don't get any rest. Isn't that frustrating? I don't have much time to sleep, and then when I do, I don't get to rest. Solomon says, "Thy sleep shall be sweet." To go to, you've got all these things hanging over your head. They're on your heart. They're burdens. And yet you can lay down and sleep peacefully and deeply. God can give you that. Rejuvenation. We need a good night's sleep. Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." Psalm 3, David is running from Absalom, his son, who's trying to kill him and steal the throne. And he talks about, I went to bed, and I slept, and I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. He had sought the Lord and given the burden to the Lord, and God gave him rejuvenation. This is a daily blessing we can have when we will seek the Lord every single day. You know what? I can sleep tonight because I know that I live today the way the Lord wanted me to. I don't know how this situation's going to work out, but I responded the way the Lord wanted me to. He gave me wisdom. I don't see the end yet, but I know I can go to sleep because I've done my job. I've followed the Lord. I'm in God's will. I can sleep, and he'll give that rejuvenation. He'll also give relaxation. Proverbs 3:25 says, "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. I think that's interesting. Be not afraid of sudden fear. Things change so quickly in life. Our nation right now is under a real fast pace of change. And life can look very different in just a moment's time. I talked about that, how people can ruin their lives in just a few moments. We know that death can strike at any moment. And life is different now. Things change so quickly. Sickness can change your plans very quickly. Breakdowns, maybe something, a furnace in your car, in your house, or maybe your car can break down. They can happen without warning, and suddenly your day is different, your month is different, whatever. Don't be afraid of sudden fear. Fear can come on you instantly. It might just be a suggestion. It might be because of something that happened to somebody else. Sometimes unanticipated dangers can seem more threatening than the well-known ones. Be not afraid of sudden fear. When that captures your heart, that it's been said that cold grip of fear grabbed your heart. Don't be afraid of that. Don't give any credence to that. You seek the Lord. You trust in the Lord. You don't have to be afraid. It can bring relaxation. Sure, I don't know what's going to happen. There's some uncertainty there, but I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to relax in this. Neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. When disaster hits close to home, it can rattle us. And Solomon says, don't let your faith in God be shaken when the wicked are judged. When you go to God daily for his wisdom, you are renewing your relationship with him daily. Renew your grip on his promises daily as well. This will bring you relaxation. Promises like Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Wow, I didn't expect such and such to happen. But you know what? The Lord's still with me. That promise is unchanged. So I don't have to be afraid of this thing. It may not be the path I wanted, but I've been seeking the Lord and I've been asking him for an opportunity to do such and such, and maybe this is it. Wisdom. Putting the Lord first. I sought the Lord this morning. I asked him to control my day. I asked him to help me to respond properly, and now I have an opportunity for him to answer that prayer. So I'm not going to think like this is a disaster. This might be just what I prayed for. So Lord, give me wisdom. This is what I was praying for. I didn't know it was going to look like this, but this is what I prayed for this morning, every single day. I know I'm right where I should be. So like David said in Psalm 23:4, I will fear no evil. I don't like the valley of the shadow of death. But I know I'm right where I ought to be, so I'm not going to fear any evil. Relaxation. We can relax when things are difficult. And fourthly and lastly, Proverbs 3:26, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. There's appreciation here. The Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. And Solomon is kind of telling his son how it will end. If you'll seek the Lord every day, you'll have daily blessings. Oh, and the end will be good too. You don't have to wait to see how it turns out. You don't have to be under suspense to know if the Lord will bless you or not. I can just tell you how it's going to end. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13. We won't turn there for sake of time, but it's talking about putting on the armor of God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world. And so, Paul says, put on the armor so that you can stand. They won't beat you. They're big and scary. They're bigger than you and me. They're more powerful. But you can stand. Put on the armor of God. If we'll seek God every day, we don't have to be afraid of these things. God will keep us. He will be our confidence. He will keep our foot from being taken. Solomon pleads with his son to value and pursue wisdom and to put his confidence in God. Every day. We are not repositories of wisdom to store and use at our discretion. Our wisdom will not set us up for life. We must go to God daily, using the truth that we know from God's word to help us put God first and walk with him. God's wisdom enables us to navigate and adapt in life's constantly changing landscape. God's wisdom will profit us daily. God's wisdom will bring daily preservation, rejuvenation, relaxation, and appreciation. Praise the Lord. Lord, thank you for keeping me safe. Thank you for assuring that the end of my path is going to be a good end. I don't have to worry about the specifics of today because you've already told me how it's going to end. It may be a bumpy road, may not be very comfortable. I wish it were. But I know how this is going to end. I know where this path ends because God said. And so I can appreciate, even in the midst of pain, in everything, give thanks. That's how we can do it. Does all of this describe your life? If not, perhaps you should seek God so that he would give you a daily dose of direction. I want to give you four quick steps. How can we do this? How do we seek the Lord? We know this is how wisdom works. The Bible is very clear. How do we make this a reality in our life? Four quick steps, four very simple things. Number one, seek God for wisdom by obeying what you know. If you say, God wants me to do 1, 2, 3, but I'm not going to do that, I'll ask him to preserve me another way. He's not going to do that. You're being disobedient. You are regarding sin in your heart. Seek God for wisdom by obeying what you know. Start there. Isaiah 30, 21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Don't turn aside. Stay on the path. You might not. We don't understand everything there is to know about the Bible and everything there is to know about God and everything there is to know about living life the way Christ would have us. That's why we're growing. That's why we're learning. That's why we're seeking him. But obey what you know. You know enough to act on right now, I would dare say. Obey what you know. Secondly, seek God for wisdom by humbling yourself. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble, James 4, 6 says. It doesn't say God gives grace unto the brilliant, or God gives grace unto the best educated, or God gives grace to the hardest worker. It says God gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself. He'll give you grace. He'll make up for what you lack. We all lack something. We can humble ourselves. This is our choice. Seek God for wisdom by obeying what you know and by humbling yourself. Thirdly, pray often and earnestly. Well, I prayed, I think it was it last week? Yeah, I prayed for wisdom last week. And why am I struggling now? We can be infrequent and unfaithful in our prayers. Pray often and earnestly. James 5:16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When we are obeying the Lord and we're humbling ourselves and we're praying, begging God to help me. I just want to obey you. Give me wisdom. Give me light. Help me to know how to navigate this day. He will answer that. And when he does, number four, walk by faith. He gives you an opening, an open door, gives you instruction. Just follow it. Go through that door. Follow him. Believe it's that his word, his will is right. Well, but I don't see. Just walk by faith. Do what he tells you to do. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Follow where it takes you. Turn to Joshua chapter 1 and we'll be done. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua was in a unique situation. He was becoming the leader. He became the leader of Israel, taking over from Moses, who was now dead. Moses, the great man of God, great prophet. And now Joshua is in his shoes. Joshua had big shoes to fill, you might say. And he probably doubted himself. But God had given Joshua a priceless blessing. He had given Joshua the first word of God. Moses had written the Pentateuch and left it behind when he died. And Joshua had the word of God now. Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. God is speaking to Joshua and he says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This is what you need. Don't turn away from it. Don't swerve. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Very clear plan. Very, very transparent here. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Joshua, you don't have the answers, but they're in this book. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Meditate day and night, and then follow it, and God will work it out. God will accomplish it. God uses wisdom in everything he does. We should seek him for wisdom so that we can follow his example. A daily dose of direction. Seek the Lord tomorrow when you start your day. Go to the Lord intentionally, earnestly. God, you are first today. I want to follow you. I want to obey you and please you. I need your help to do that. I can't do it without you. Do that every day, multiple times a day. Seek the Lord. He'll give you wisdom for his glory and for your blessing. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the wisdom that you want to give to us. Help us not to trust in our own knowledge, our own perspective, and what we think we see. Help us to be humble. And when we're humble, we'll see that we need your help desperately. Help us to seek you for it every day. There are so many distractions. The flesh wants to assure itself that it can handle it on its own. Help us not to believe those lies. Help us to put you first, to be humble, to do what we know, to pray earnestly, and then to walk by faith. Lord, I know that you'll bless that, and you'll use us and change us and teach us and encourage us, and we'll walk with you. What a blessing it is to spend a life that way. Help us to be lights in a dark world, walking by faith so that others can see that there's a God in heaven who loves them enough to offer them that same opportunity. Pray that you be glorified in our lives as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name, amen.